Welcome to the dynamic teaching of Pastor Nife Ibiemi, Lead Pastor of Love Dominion Assembly International. It is his vision to unveil the culture of Zion through the word and discipleship. Ready, set, grow.
Easy, Tana. Come on, just wave those hands to Jesus. Wave it to Jesus. Wave it to God. Bless his name. Give him the fruit of your lips, not tongues. Just give words. Give words, not tongues. Give words, not tongues. Give words from your spirit. He is God Almighty. He is God Almighty. I said not tongues, not tongues. Just bless his name. Give words. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of comforts. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's our Maker, he's our Redeemer. You are our Redeemer. You are Lord Almighty. You are God Almighty. Thank you for your death. Thank you for the cross, for your salvation. You are our healer. You are our healer. You are our healer, our provider. You are El Shaddai, Elohim. Thank you, 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 Lord. Hallelujah to your name. He is Lord, you are Lord, amen. You have risen from the dead, you are Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue come, that Jesus Christ.
There is no one.
Just wave those hands to him. Wave those hands to him. Say, there is none like him. Indeed, there is none like him. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, we yield ourselves to you this morning. We yield ourselves to you. We ask that you fill us afresh. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. You can have your seats in God's presence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians. Amen. Ephesians in chapter 6. That will be the second reading. The first reading should go to Luke. Amen. Should we do it in Luke? Let's just start from 6. Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're reading from verse. Forgive me. Not 6. It's not supposed to be 6. I was reading something in 6 before. So on that. No. Wait, I think I'm right. All right, good. Ephesians 6. Yeah, I'm right. Are you there? So we read from verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now look at that. He says, finally, my brethren. So he's talking to believers. Ephesians 6. Are you there? If you're there, say, Jesus is Lord. If you're not there, say, I'm blessed. So should we wait for the blessed ones? So Jesus is Lord, guys, are blessed too. Okay, by now you should have been there. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. So he's not talking to, he's talking to Christians, to believers. Brethren, it means brothers, those that are of the same source. That's what it means. My brethren, we are from the same source. Okay, he said, finally, my brethren, those that we are from the same source. And we are from the same source. We came out from the womb of the Spirit. So we are child or children, okay? We are children of the Spirit. Hallelujah. See, I'm born of God. So he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, there's a reason why I said, what I'm emphasizing, he said, my brethren, okay? He's talking to every believer. So in other words, okay, every believer ought to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So he's not saying appointed pastors or ministers, okay? He's not talking to pastors, to certain ministers. He's talking to everyone, okay, as ministers, okay? Everyone, including you and I. So if you have believed Jesus died for your sins and you are a believer, okay, then this word is for you. So as you read it, he's not talking, I know many believers are used, they are used to Psalms only. So they think, the epistles would mean for, would be for those who are pulpit ministers, those who pastors, apostles, okay? No, but he's talking there, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word power there, kratos, is talking about the vigor, hallelujah, of his might. So be strong in the power of his might. Okay, you're going to get it. So he said, be strong in the power of his might. In other words, if I'm going to paraphrase this, are you following me, everybody? I'm going to say this, take advantage of his might or be strong. Okay, learn to be strong in the power of his might. He said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So what should you do, okay, as a believer? Listen, see, it seems like I'm emphasizing, I'm repeating and repeating and repeating. There is, repeating is also spiritual. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Are we together, everybody? So he says this, listen up, everybody. Be strong in the Lord and in what? The power of his might. Amen. Hallelujah. So you've got to learn. Okay, we have to learn to take advantage of what the Lord is and what his might is. Let's keep reading. Then he said, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor. Somebody say whole. The whole armor. The whole armor. The entire armor of God. Now, very important. See, you have to understand. The armor is whole. Okay? The armor is not in part. The armor is whole. Okay, I'm trying to... okay, for example, if you are going to... okay, maybe I use this speaker, for example. Doctor, I wish I know the parameters, you know, all the parameters in the speaker. Okay, which other parameters? What can I use an example? Okay, if you take the cone, are we together, everybody? Dr. House, I don't know if I'm right or correct, yeah? If you take the cone out, okay, of this speaker, will it still be working as a speaker? So it has to be whole. So the entire component has to be together for you to call it what? A speaker. So he's saying take the whole armor of God. So it is armor, the entire armor. So it is, listen, it is an armor, okay, because it is whole. So if one component is not included, then it's not the armor of God. Am I communicating? So if you remove the cone out of the speaker, then you can't, it can't set, it's not going to be a speaker. So it's a speaker because the entire component are working as a whole. So he's saying there, he says to the brethren, he said, put on, and which is you. So in other words, nobody is a civilian in the kingdom. So that's the concept here. So that's why I started by saying my brethren. Okay, he's not saying to my pastors. He's saying my brethren, put on the all armor. So entire thing. You as a believer must learn to put the entire on. Okay, we are going to go there. So it's not, okay, let's keep reading. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 13. Wherefore, take unto you, what again? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to do what? To withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Now, look at here. So look, everybody. We are reading together. We are all together here. So you have to put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you'll be able to withstand against the evil days. Let me paraphrase it. Evil days will come. Okay. Why will evil days come? Evil days will come because of the devil. So we said this. Paul was talking to the Thessalonians. I'm correct now. He said, pray for us that God will deliver us from unreasonable men. Okay? Why? Why did he say that? He said, because not all men have faith. Okay, listen up, everybody. We are looking at Satan series. We have been looking at Satan series, now. And we said this very important, that Satan, okay, we have looked at, you know, certain concept regarding Satan. We have looked at that. Amen. And we have dismissified certain concept about Satan. But we will not go further than that. But very important, this must be established, that the devil or Satan is a beguiler, a deceiver. The devil deceives, he beguiles, and he's very skilled in what he does. The devil has been around for so long that, you know, he's very, very much experienced in cajoling, deceiving, tempting, murdering, okay, and killing. I think we looked at that a while ago. I mean, was it last Sunday that we looked at the fact that when the Bible said that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, he was not talking about Satan. Okay, I think that's established. Was it on Sunday? Yeah. Was it last Sunday we did this? Yeah. Okay, he wasn't talking about Satan. But we know that Satan does that too. So we are not saying, we are not examining, we are not removing Satan. We are not from the fact that he has the ability to kill, to destroy. Amen. So when Jesus was talking about the thief come not, but for to kill and, you know, to steal, to kill and destroy, he was talking to spiritual leaders. Okay, spiritual leaders. It's very important. Spiritual leaders who have learned how to lead from the world, or who have learned how to subjugate, to control. So it is a scriptural thing. Jesus said this. He said, a good shepherd, what does he do? He said, lay down his life for the sheep. Before then, in John 10:10, it's the same. It was a shepherd story. In John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal or kill and destroy. I've come that you may have life. So Jesus several times would instruct the apostles. He said, do not do like other Gentiles. He said, they love the praises in the city. They love the accolades in the city. He said, but rather, he said, the one that must be chief among you must what? Must have. That's just by the way. So Satan is the one who kills. Satan kills. John chapter 8, 44. Jesus speaking, he said, you are of your father, the devil. He said, for he's a liar, he's a murderer from the beginning. He does that. He said, when he speaks of his own will, of his own accord. Are you following me, everybody? I'm trying not to rush, and I'm trying to connect the dots. Are we together here? So look at it. Let's go back again. He says this. He said, when you put the whole armor of God, okay, then you will be able to do what? To withstand in the evil day. I told us the content of the evil day is what? Is Satan. Satan. Opposition. It will come. It will keep coming. So Jesus teaching in his ministry, he had several of the evil days. Amen, everybody. Are we together here? Jesus, Minister Daniel emphasized it again. Peter in Matthew 16, okay, Peter was in Jesus' meeting, teaching meeting. Peter, as a disciple, was with Jesus, and Jesus asked them, what do men say that I am? And he said, well, you are Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, wow, what a revelation. Upon this revelation, this rock, which is Christ, I will build my church. Just few verses after that time. Just few verses. Just 5 to 6 to 7 verses. The same Jesus told them, hey, I am going to die for your sins. Peter said, no. He said, it's not going to be. And the Bible said, Jesus rebuked him. He said, Satan, that is opposition, get thee behind me. The same person. So look at what happened there. The same person was used of God. Receive revelation. The same person was and it was became a channel, okay, to oppose the will and the mind of God. Am I communicating to us here? So evil days will come. Evil days will come. Hallelujah. It is not a good news. Amen. Okay. The good news is there is what we need when the evil days come. And you must know what you need. You must use the instrument, okay, not because you are a pastor or an apostle, or some evangelist, but because you are a brethren. Am I communicating? He said, finally, my brethren. Okay, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? Of his might. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Then he said, for we are wrestling, and our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. This can also apply to the gospel too. So it applies all around. I'm going to explain. Everybody, are you with me, everybody? Are you with me? So this concept applies all around. So look at it again. He's saying there is going to be evil days. And in these evil days, what is orchestrating the evil days are principalities and power, spiritual wickedness, rulers of dark places. They are the one inspiring these evil days. But how are you going to withstand in the evil days? You have to put on the whole armor of God. Now, the word withstand there, what it means is this. I'm just going to help you a little bit with it so that you understand the concept of withstanding. So withstanding in evil days, it means that when the evil days come, okay, it will come and pass, okay? But when it comes and pass, you will be left without bruises. You will still be standing. So that's why I said, so that you will stand strong. I love the way another version puts it. It says, so that you will be able to stand. You will still be standing, even when the evil days come and pass. Amen. So evil days will not come, okay, and crush you. You will still be standing. Why? Because you've got the armor of God. And in the armor, you are strong. See, I like to explain this as, I like fictions, okay? Science fictions. I like to explain this as, I don't know if any of you see Flash. Amen. So Flash got these rings, okay? So, you know, sometimes you just wonder, how did he get all this? You know, was it so quick? Of course, it's quick, okay? It's Flash. But he's always with his ring, okay? So with his ring, he takes this ring, he puts the ring in his hand, and this ring has everything. So the ring becomes the entire clothes with the eye, with the gloves, with everything, with everything to resist. So listen. So Flash wears a costume. Are we together, everybody? Flash wears a costume. This is not Bible, okay? It's Flash. It's scripture. It's fiction, okay? So it's not in the Bible, but, you know, yeah, okay? So, but I'm just explaining this. So Flash wears this costume that when he runs, normally, if you are running at that speed, your clothes is supposed to be tearing. So the guy runs, okay, and in his running, he generates energy. Sometimes in his running, even he gets hit by his own, you know, force, yeah, force power, force light, or whatever. So he runs, and he does not get burnt. After running for so long, with a flash. Okay. So after running, he reaches the end, and he's still standing. He's still looking good. Okay. Sometimes they push him, and he hits his head on the wall. Okay. He's still standing. He just got, once in a while, you know, it comes like if the superpower is very, very, very strong. Okay. Or stronger than him. So, but this is the concept. Okay. He says this. So it is one ring that he takes. But that entire ring is the entire armor of God. Okay. Armor of Flash. So in this concept, okay. Armor of Flash. In this armor of Flash, are we together? In this same armor of Flash, when he's running, his friends in the lab, they are monitoring his temperature, monitoring his, the same suit is monitoring everything. The same root suit is making generation. The same root suit is doing everything. Am I communicating to us here? So the whole armor of God. So the entire armor of God is not wanting. So for example, you cannot say you have breastplate of righteousness and you don't have sword of the spirit. It's not possible. That's the point. That's where I'm going. Somebody say, where, you know, you put, okay, let's read it. Let's read it. Look at it. Are you there, everybody? So look at it. It says, stand therefore, having your loins, what? Guard about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shodded with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take what? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. I'm going to end in verse 18, but I just want us to first see this. So what he listed here, they are components of that suit. Okay, see, you have to understand it. The component, if you remove the breastplate of righteousness, it is no more the whole armor. It is a whole armor. You have to understand it. So it is not like, oh, hey, today I take breastplate of righteousness. Oh, maybe, wow. You know, I remember we used to have those teachings. What if you wear helmet? Okay, you wear breastplate of righteousness and there is no helmet. Amen. So what if you wear breastplate of righteousness and you are not wearing helmet? Then it means that the enemy will use arrow, okay, or some armor or something to hit your head. But that's not the way it is. So the way it is the entire armor comes as a package. So the entire armor comes as a package. So Flash wears the ring, takes the ring, okay, wears one ring, and everything is inside the suit. In a jiffy. Are you following everybody? The same thing. So for example, when he says the helmet of salvation, what saves you? The word of God. So how is a man saved? A man is saved because he hears the word of God. The Bible says, being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of seed incorruptible by the word of God. We are born by the word of God. So I repeat again, very important. Listen up, everybody. Listen up. How are you born again? How is a man saved? A man is saved by the word of God. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Are we together? Are you following? So how is a man saved? A man is not saved when he stops lying, when he stops doing bad things. No. A man is saved when he receives the gospel. Okay, you have to understand it. So it is not the bad thing that is not done that saves a man. Okay, it is the word of God that saves a man. So the word you receive empowers you to stop doing the things you do. And I'm going to repeat it again. For example, if you can leave your sin to come to Jesus, you don't need a savior. Are you going to try and say, is it where leave your sin, drop your sin, and come to Jesus? No. Okay? No. Jesus, you have to listen. You have to understand this. God, I mean, yeah, that's coming out right. See, Jesus is not, or the Spirit of God is not Superman. I'm going to explain what I mean. It's not the fictional Superman who is afraid of kryptonite. Or is it kryptonite or that stone? You know, anytime Superman gets... Why is fiction coming today? Anytime Superman gets close to... is it kryptonite? That stone? He gets weak. He won't be able to fly again. The Holy Spirit is not like that. Get those junks out of your mind. No. So what the Holy Spirit does, even in the presence of sin, it strengthens you, okay, gives you strength to be able to push sin away. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The Holy Spirit empowers you, strengthens you to be able to do away with sin. So it is inclusive in the armor. So we start again. So very important, listen up. So the word of God is what saves us. The Bible talks about the word of praise, the word of faith that we preach. Hallelujah. So what is the word of faith that we preach? That Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him. 1 Corinthians 15, go put it up. 1 Corinthians 15. Everybody please listen. 1 Corinthians 15, are you there? He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Now, Paul is saying, hey, this is the gospel that I preached unto you, which also you have received. So what did they receive, everybody? What did they receive again? So which also you have received, past tense. So the gospel which I preached, past tense, which also you have received, and wherein ye what? So where are they standing? In the gospel. Next verse. By which also are you what? By what? Thank you. So he said, by the same gospel which they have received, which he preached, he said, they are saved. Now, the word gospel, listen up, everybody. The word gospel, what does it mean? News. So gospel means good news. What is a news? A news is something that has happened. So if it's going to happen, it is not a news. So, for example, when you say breaking news, Sokoto mob killed this, breaking news. It has happened. It's a breaking news. News. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So, what has happened is called news. So, good news is the gospel. So, for example, when I go to a sinner or somebody who is a sinner, and I'm going to tell the person the gospel, if I go to somebody who is a sinner and I tell you, you may die tomorrow. Amen. As I'm looking at you, you may die tomorrow. What have I just done? I don't know. Praise God. I've done my own assignment, which the Lord Jesus did not send me. No, are you getting what I'm trying to say here? If I say, well, you know, I just come to somebody, because that's not a news. A news is what has happened. And what happened? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. On the third day, rose again by the power of God. So in other words, on the cross, Jesus died for your sins. Past, present, and future. All your sins. See, listen. You got born again, maybe sometimes last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or maximum 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, maximum. Jesus died 2,000 years ago for the sin that you received his forgiveness, okay, some years ago. Listen up, everybody. So the potency of the cross is across time. And the effect is all around. So in other words, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for your sins, past, present, and future. So sins have been forgiven. Sins. Hallelujah. Sins. So for example, when I see a sinner, a prostitute, or someone, when I go to Sokoto, hallelujah, I'm using Sokoto as an example. Sokoto is a city in Nigeria. We read recently about a mob that killed a girl, okay? All right, so now, and these guys, okay, they have all kinds of, evil in their heart. ISIS, all those, guys, who are not born again. And when you go to them to tell them about, so you go to preach to anyone who has not received Jesus, what do you tell them? You tell them, hey, do you know that Jesus Christ has forgiven you? Okay, listen up, everybody. That guy that killed, Deborah, okay, Jesus Christ has forgiven him or her. Amen. And that is where it is good news. So the news is this. Hey, Jesus has forgiven you. He died on the cross for you. So what is the person supposed to do? To receive forgiveness. So by receiving so it has been given, but you have a part to also receive forgiveness. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? God is not going to forgive. He has forgiven you. Say, I'm forgiven. I can't hear. Say, I'm forgiven. So you have been forgiven. Jesus died on the cross. So it becomes a good news because the disciples, everybody, believers, take the word and go everywhere to deliver the good news. Hey, Christ has died for you. Let's keep reading. He said, look at it. He said, by which also, okay, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, how? According to the scripture, next verse, was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. Now listen up, everybody. So, in other words, he's saying that this is the component of the gospel. Don't add to it. You know, you may say, it's not, this thing is not demanding responsibility from somebody to do something. Don't worry. Okay, don't worry. Leave the gospel to do his work. The gospel will do his work. Hallelujah. So what we are telling men, are we together, everybody? Don't forget, we have not missed our point. So look here. So you go about preaching the gospel, telling them, look at it. Do you know, if you go and read the book of Acts, from Acts 1 to the end, you will never see any apostle preach and say, wait, hey, tomorrow may be too late. You may die tomorrow. Now, but listen. We know that it is true, okay, that a man may miss the opportunity because he resists, which tomorrow may be too late. But it's not a news. That's not a good news. It's just a fact that if you don't receive Jesus, okay, tomorrow will be late. Maybe too late. Okay? Maybe. Not we. Are we together, everybody? So we know. But that's not the good news. The good news is, I'm asking you, somebody who is poor, somebody who is, stinkingly poor, what good news did the person deserve? That, hey, riches is, no, you will be rich. Oh. The good news is that, there is riches, there's money saved in the wallet or something for you. Okay? 1,000 BTC is kept for you. Somebody who is poor, are you going to try to say, yeah? That's the news. Somebody who has cancer, we are saying, see, there is healing available for you. Christ has made it available. You can receive it now. Are you going to try to say, it's the good news. That's the good news. News is what has been done. So we're going somewhere. So what is the news? The news is this, okay? The news is the gospel of salvation. So that's why the Bible says, for I am not ashamed of what? Of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto what? So the gospel which we preach, by which they are standing, he said it is the power of God unto salvation. So in other words, when a man receives the gospel, the man is emboldened, has power, and he is saved. You know, this is also very interesting. Listen up, everybody. I'm going somewhere. This is also very interesting. A man that has not received Jesus is bankrupt of faith. A man that has not received Jesus is bankrupt of faith, destitute of the things and oppression of the Spirit. A man that has not received Jesus does not have faith. So in other words, you cannot even tell somebody that, hey, you have to have faith to be saved. Okay, no. You know, that's a blah, blah, blah. No. Why? Because that person is destitute of what? Faith. So how does faith come? The Bible says, Romans 10:17. He said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Which word? The gospel of salvation. So when someone that is bankrupt of faith, he has not the Spirit of God, and you come to tell the person about what Jesus has done, what are you doing as well? You are supplying what? Faith. How is faith? So look at it. Listen up, everybody. Someone who has not received Jesus does not have faith. He cannot have faith. So when you preach the gospel, the gospel crystallizes faith in the person. With such faith, he receives salvation. He receives forgiveness. So what we are trying to say is this, that everything that we are, everything that we stand on is supplied by the Spirit and supplied by Jesus. Are we together? Yeah. So, and how are they supplied? By the word of God. Okay, let's go back to our armor of God. Armor. Praise God. To the suit. Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you what? Are we together, everybody? Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, whereby you'll be able to withstand in evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, stand therefore. Okay, he's not saying, oh, haven't done all to stand, now stand. Okay, he's just, you have done all by putting on the whole armor of God. Okay, I don't know if, see, there's this guy in one of those fictional movies that wears, I mean, that presses something and his suit will fly from his house. Iron Man, thank you, yeah. Okay, he just presses something and everything will come to his body. Everything. Everything comes to his body. Now, the guy, now, look at it. The guy masters something. If you notice, those super guys, okay, they master their suit. Listen, they master their suit. They know how to shoot. And sometimes I used to wonder, how do you navigate this suit? Like, and sometimes, if you see all those Terminator movies, okay, especially Matrix, and you see all those guys enter a gigantic machine. Are we together, everybody? They enter a gigantic machine, and they are using several ammunitions, shooting and throwing bombs. You know, they master how to use. Sometimes when you see them in the movie, inside the Terminator or Termination or whatever the machine, they look tiny inside the machine. Okay? They look tiny. So, again, Iron Man too as well. He has mastered how to use his suit. So, what is Iron Man? So, if Iron Man is supposed to withstand evil day, what is Iron Man supposed to be strong in his suit? He needs to learn how to master his suit well. So, you have to understand. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in what? In the Lord. Learn how to master, learn how to rely strongly in the might of the Lord. Not in your own self. Learn how to master in the Lord. This is, okay, let's keep reading. I'm going somewhere. Okay, are we there, everybody? Look at it. Where did I stop? 14, he said, look at 14. Stand therefore, having what? Your loins guided about with truth. Now, Jesus told them, he said, sanctify them with the word. Thy word is what? Do you remember that scripture? Sanctify them with the word is truth. What is bringing truth is the word of truth. What is saving men is the word of truth. What is the word of truth? That Jesus died and that God rose him up. Amen. So it's not some separate component. Let's read it. Look, keep reading. Having your breastplate, having what? On the breastplate of righteousness. What gives you righteousness? The word, the gospel of your salvation is what gives you righteousness. So what we are trying to say, this is what Paul is saying here. That is not a separate component. It is the same thing. You have the whole armor of God when you take the word. Let's keep reading. Are you following me here? So when you preach, look at it, you are full shoulder with the pressure for the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is the word of salvation about what Jesus did on the cross. When he said the gospel of peace is the cross. The Bible says he has broken down the middle wall of partition. He has made peace between two. So he has broken. So the word of peace is this, that in the beginning, initially, we were enemies. The Bible says we were enemies and hostile in our mind. The Bible says he has brought us nigh by the blood of his cross. So therefore, making peace is the prince of peace. So how do you communicate the peace? It's through the word, the gospel of salvation, wherein you are standing. Are you following me here? So it is not a different component. It is the same component. This is what we're trying to say. That when you receive the gospel, you also receive the whole armor of God. It is inseparable. It is not like the gospel of truth. The word of truth is different from the word of righteousness. No, it's the same. Let's keep reading. Are you following everybody? So, but don't forget, he said you will take it. Take it. Put it on. You have to be deliberate. So he gave instructions here. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. So what are you supposed to be strong in? In the word of God. In the gospel of your salvation. You are going to be strong in that. And when you are strong in that, what will you do? You will withstand. Are we together, everybody? Yeah. Now, look at, let's keep reading. Above all, look at how did Jesus withstand the devil? It's simple. The word. Are we together here? The word. So the devil came with tempting Jesus, and as he gave this temptation, is the word. Jesus will say, it is written. Hallelujah. He will say, it is written. It is written. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as he comes, the devil will come, bow to me, it is written. So he is using the same word, okay, as his own what? Armor. So that he'll be able to withstand. When Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross with the word. Are you following everybody? He went to the cross. He went to the cross with the fact that it is written that he would raise him from the dead. That he will not allow his only one to see corruption. So he went to the cross, gave up the cross, gave up the ghost, knowing that he would raise him up. Okay, let us not go there that far, okay? But let's just keep reading. Are you following everybody? Where did I stop here? Now, I am in particularly concerned about 16 for a reason. Because of the series that we are doing. He said, above all, okay, take the shield of faith, wearing you wear what? Now, the shield of faith is the same thing as the word of faith. What are you faithing in? You are faithing in the word. You are faithing on the word of God. Are we together, everybody? That's what you are faithing in. So, it's simple. It's simple. The word of God, okay, is what? The armor of God. Now, let me explain something to you here. For example, when it says, praying always, look at it, verse 17, taking on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, okay? Okay? Colon. Amen. Amen. Did you see?
Yes, sir.
Colon. Are you together? So what does this colon mean? Tell me, whatever comes after is explaining what he's saying. So he's making it in a simple term, like this. Take the helmet of salvation, okay? Well, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, okay? How do you take it? He said, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Now, yeah. We still come there. Listen up, everybody, because you've got to get this. So, he says this. He says, you take up the word of God, which is the shield of faith, isn't it? And how are you going to do it? By praying always. Now, this is very important. That as at the time that Paul was writing this, okay, the only document that the church had was the Old Testament. And at the time he was writing this to them. So this is what I'm trying to say here. There was what was balancing the equation. Because, listen up, everybody. If you are reading the Old Testament, okay, sometimes if you are not careful, you could be beguiled. You could be seeing a terrible God, a dreadful God, a God who is bipolar. When you are reading the Old Testament, and suddenly you start reading from Genesis, and you cross Matthew, and you begin to see a soft God, who seemed to be loving, kind, and also merciful. But when you read the Old Testament, you tend to begin to see a judgmental, wicked, and terrible God who kills children. Okay? Now, but that's by the way, okay? That's what you would see. But that's not what God is in, okay? That's not who God is. But we are just saying that if you are reading this and you are not careful, and you are not reading it by the Spirit, and Jesus is not the balance of the equation, you will be seeing another God. So you'll be seeing Satan and man in Old Testament. Are we together, everybody? You will see Satan and man in the Old Testament if you are not seeing it with the lens of Jesus. So it's not as if God repented in the New Testament. He didn't repent. God has been consistently good from creation from the beginning. Okay? What has been changing right from time has always been man. So God created man, Adam. So who discovered that he was... So did God not know he was naked? So look at it. So he fell. Then he hid himself. I'm repeating this again for a reason. He hid himself. Then he was naked. They were naked. They hid themselves. And God came in the cool of the day. And God said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I heard your voice. Okay? And I hid myself because I was afraid. He was afraid of what? Why will he suddenly be afraid? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There's a working relationship before. And suddenly you are afraid of me. Why? Because he thought God would kill him. So they went to hide themselves. So in other words, as at that time, Adam had already concluded God as a killer or a dreadful being who is either going to kill or harm him. He may not necessarily be killed, but harm him. Which God never suggested to him. Are we together, everybody? So when God told him, where are you? He said, I heard your voice and I hid myself because I was naked. What did God tell him? He said, who told you what? You are naked. So in other words, God is addressing the fact that you must have been hearing things that I never told you. Because what I've ever told you is that I love you. It's the same thing that God has been saying. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believed. The Bible says God commended his love to us. In other words, God revealed his love to us. It has always been the desire of God from creation to let man know that I love you to the end. I love you to return. I love you well and well and well. So God has always wanted to show man that he loves him. But what has been changing has always been man. It is man that caused, you know, deforestation. When there is deforestation, then we have, you know, ozone layer depletion. It is the work of man. It's not the work of God. The man that has not received Jesus can inhabit the devil, and the devil will come and kill children. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Now, but based on the way things are going, we can prophesy. Hallelujah. Are we together here? So based on the trend of things, we can prophesy that this is what will happen. Based on what man has done, we can tend to. So what most of the time, listen up, everybody. What we are saying by prophesying is that, for example, you are putting God in the midst of man's turmoil. So, for example, here comes the turmoil, the disorganization. And here comes God. He said, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Remember that scripture? So why is God giving the first Christocentric prophecy? In the midst of the turmoil. So I was telling somebody recently, I said, listen up, everybody. God said it in the beginning when man fell, that the seed of this woman will bruise the head of the serpent. So it was a prophecy about Christ coming. The seed of the woman, Mary seed, so virgin birth, will bruise the head of the serpent. Now, that can happen. That could have happened 5 years after Jesus said that. We wouldn't have seen, for example, Enoch, Moses, and all those. Sorry, that would have been so easy. That you just 5 years or 1 year, just immediately after he said that, 5 years or 10 years or 30 years after, at least a virgin, somebody, 14 years, okay, let's say 14 years, we would have had a good virgin, okay, for 14 years. Okay, so we would have, 14 years is enough to have a virgin, okay, after he has said those words, that will give birth to Jesus. But it took over 4,000 years before Jesus came. Now, what delayed it? Man. No, man. Because there was no virgin was available. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. What I'm just kidding. But that is not the only instrument. We talk about the woman, the Hannah woman, who prayed for over 64 years. Why would she be praying? Because she needed to put all the instruments in place for Jesus to come. Okay? Praise God. Okay, I'm going somewhere. Okay, we're running up now. Okay. Sorry. What did I say before I went there? Okay. All right, so we are saying praying always what? So praying always with all prayers and supplications in the spirit. So he's saying, don't forget, so we are supposed to take the shield of faith, which is the word of God. So I told us they didn't have what? As at the time Paul was writing this, they only had the Old Testament. But they had the Holy Spirit. They had the word of God. They had the cross. So how is it happened? For example, I told us once there, if you read Hebrews 11, listen up, everybody, please don't miss this. Read Hebrews 11 by faith, Daniel, by faith, Samson, by faith. Now, we looked at that faith operation once. See, listen, faith is hung only on the word of God. It is not faith if there is no element of God's word there. I repeat again, it cannot be faith. So faith is not being stubborn. Okay? Being stubborn is just another character that you should learn to develop. When I mean being stubborn on the word, okay, on the truth of the spirit, or being persistent. We'll go there because he said earlier, he said perseverance, okay? He said, watch thereunto with all what? Perseverance. Now, perseverance means you are persistent, you are tenacious, and you are dogged. So, invariably, we're talking about being stubborn on something. Okay, but that's just by the way. I'm just teaching you something here. So, he's saying this. Now, faith, listen up, everybody. Faith, the element of faith is hung on the word. So, if the word is not there, then it is not faith. So, for example, if I ask you, you say, well, I have faith that I will be healed. If you're sick in your body and you say, I have faith that I will be healed, or I have faith that I'm going to be rich, I have faith that I'm saved, then I ask you, so what are you hanging on your faith on? I just know I will be healed. No, you cannot just know. Knowing what? What are you knowing? You cannot say, I just have faith. You cannot just have faith. You must be having faith on the word of God. So, for example, you just know I will be healed. Why? How do you know you'll be healed? Because the word says, by his stripes, I am healed. He healed me. His spirit is available to heal. You have to have something you are holding on to. So, there must be something that is the anchor. Are we together, everybody? So, listen up, everybody. To get faith is the same for all men. But the promptings of faith is different for all men. I repeat, it is the same way we all get faith. How do we get faith? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by what? And hearing what? So you are hearing by the word of God. So it's not only talking about reading Bible. Okay? No. Which is inclusive. Because even as you are reading the Old Testament, you must be able to pick the word of God. Because Satan also spoke in the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, for example, you say, well, the Lord give it, the Lord take it. You know, it was not God that said it. God never said, oh, the Lord, it is Job that said it. It is Job that said it. So because there was an occurrence, and they say, the Lord is the one who kills, who take anytime. No, it's not. So what we are knowing from the side of the gospel, that anyone who has passed away is with the Father. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Yeah, he's not dead. Now, that's a better understanding. But we're going somewhere. Now, listen up. I think I explained this once. The same way, it is the same way you get faith. But the promptings of faith are not the same. So look at it. We looked at Samson and Daniel. So Daniel came first, right? Daniel came first before Samson. No, Samson came first. Thank you. Samson was first. So Samson had an experience. In Samson's experience, he met a lion. In meeting a lion, Samson was prompted by the spirit or by faith to go to the lion and tear the mouth of the lion. Did he succeed? I'm asking, did he succeed? So Samson did that by faith. So how did Samson get faith? By the spirit, he received the word of God. He believed that, through this word, I am going to go after this lion and tear his mouth, because that's the instruction I received by the word of God in my spirit. Okay? Now, the same, almost similar experience, Daniel. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Now, Daniel would have read, like I told us, would have read Samson's story. That, Samson tore the mouth of lion and said, yes, now, I'm going to go after this lion who are quiet and are not doing anything to tear them out. If Daniel tries that, he would be gone. Now, but what did faith prompting teach Daniel? It taught him to what? To leave the lions alone. Am I communicating to us here? Listen up. It is the same way you get faith, but the promptings of faith are not the same. So how do you get faith? You get faith by getting something from the word, but from the spirit. So that's why he's saying, We said something earlier. He said, take on what? The shield of faith. Then how are you going to take on the shield of faith? By praying always in the spirit. So why are you praying in the spirit? You're praying in the spirit to get words so that you will act upon. Am I communicating to us here? So that's why I was saying, I wanted to say, it's very important. You must also learn it. It's not every time you talk in tongues, You must learn. You must practice it. The Bible says, Paul said something. He said, what will I do? He said, I'll pray in the spirit and I'll pray in their understanding also. It's combo. It's to be together. Why? Because you need, it's not like, okay, you just pray in tongues all the time. If you are the one who prays in tongues for so long, you should be able to get to a point of interpretation. Kilo de? I get it. You pray in tongues, you get interpretation. You must learn to use words. Am I communicating to us here? I have a reason why I'm doing that. We are going to come back to it later in the future. But you must learn it. So you are starting. I have told us here, very important, that tongue is the lowest gift. Tongue is the lowest gift ever. I will not explain today, but I've taught it before. Tongue is the lowest in the room. It's the lowest. So you are starting from there. From there, you should be able to progress. Kole, exi. Spread your tentacle. Okay, use the entire full battery. Not one. Use everything. Okay, that's just by the way. So look at it. So how are you going to withstand the devil in the days of evil? How? By praying always in the what? I can't hear you. By praying always what?
In the spirit.
So by praying in the spirit, what are you expecting to catch? The word of God, which is instructive to guide you, to help you navigate what? The evil days. So look at what he says again. He says, be sober. He said, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking who he may devour, whom you must resist. How? Steadfast in the faith. And I repeat again, because we looked earlier about perseverance, okay? Perseverance and supplication. Now, everybody, you have to catch this. Very important. I'm not reading anything again. Okay? Now, look at it. Very important. Now, to be insistent and persistent is not unbelief. I have said this several times here. For example, to pray and you are insistent is not unbelief. It's not unbelief. Okay? Because I know some people have taught it, okay, where they have prayed it once. Because I've prayed it once, it has gone. No. It's not unbelief. So listen, to be consistent and persistent. To be persistent means that against all opposition, despite the fact you're praying and it seems like, well, the results are not showing forth, okay, but you are hanging on the word of God, exhorting God, praising him, praying, supplicating, making intercession, despite the opposition, despite what you are feeling, despite the challenges, but you are not giving up. That is perseverance. That is being persistent. You are insisting. You are dogged. Am I communicating? So it's not as if where you pray. Because why? Because the opposition is not resting. Am I communicating here? The opposition is not resting. So it's the same thing that works for you preaching the gospel. So when you go preach the gospel to somebody, and you preach once, and the person did not receive the gospel, what do? You go back and do what? And pray and intercede. And you come back. There are people that have been laboring, have been pursuing for the past 3 years, praying and fasting, praying. There are people in this church, amen, that have labored on them for 6 years. That it is on the sixth year that they say, wow, Jesus is Lord. I'm serious, yeah. 6 years. But you don't give up. Hallelujah. You don't give up. You persist. So you must learn that character in the spirit. It will help you in the place of prayer. And that is your armor of God. Am I communicating here? That is what? Your armor of God. And don't forget, it said finally what? Brethren, not pastors. He's talking to you. Say he's talking to me. I can't hear. Say he's talking to me. Say I've got the armor of God. Say I've got the word of God. Say I've got the word of God. Say the word of God is living in me. The power of God is living in me. In the name of Jesus. Say, I am the righteousness of God. Say, I have received the life of God. Say, I have received the life of God. So let me tell you something. This is a secret to you putting Satan under your feet daily. Now, that word that I just said, eh? Look at Romans 16. I'll round up with this. And that will be my prayer. Amen. Because sometimes, you know, some of our new creation folks, sometimes we just go to the extreme of things. And we don't know. Somebody said, well, I'm not fasting and praying again because Jesus already fasted and prayed for me. No. Amen. You must learn to withstand. He said, praying always, with always, always. Somebody say always. I can't you say always. How many times must you pray? So look at it. You wake up in the morning plus Jesus minus Satan. You must pray always. Jesus plus Jesus minus Satan. In nomine filii spiritus sanctus. And that's all. Now, you pray always. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. See, when even when things are good, what do you do?
Pray.
When things are bad, what do you do?
Pray.
Will things not be bad? Yes, things will come that seem like are bad. But make sure you stand. It's not like when you are ching-ching, goody-goody every time. See, this is it. You must understand that challenges will come. But learn to withstand. Take stand. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Your authority is not in your flesh. In your body, you may look weak. It's simple, but you must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible said the arm of flesh will fail. The arm of flesh will fail. It will fail always. But be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Sometimes when we say, I am the righteousness of God, I'm not saying that, hey, I have made myself righteous. That's not what we're saying. When you say you are the righteousness of God, we are confessing it. We are not saying we have made ourselves righteous. What you are doing is that you are emboldening yourself to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Because he's the one who made us righteous. So you are saying, I am the righteousness of God. You are making yourself. You are resounding it. You are not making yourself. You are resounding your inheritance in Christ Jesus so that you will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Which might? The might that he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Placing you at the same place. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Simple. Look at it. Look at it. Romans 16. Romans 16. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love the Lord. Romans 16. Romans 16, are you there? I'm just going to read verse 20 alone because of our time. He said, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan. The word Satan here is Satanas. It means opposition. Any opposition. He said, the Lord shall bruise Satan, opposition, under your feet shortly. And the grace of our Lord Jesus. Okay, look at it. Look at it. Oh, no. Okay, let me just keep it. Come and take my Bible away. Take it. Hallelujah. Protocol. Thank you. They're already coming. All right. Thank you too. All right. She helped you already. Hallelujah. Are we together, everybody? So, you know, he says Satan shall bruise. He was telling Roman church. He said Satan shall bruise. He's talking about opposition. Let me tell you, I told us that evil days. And I also speak to you by the Spirit of God. God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. In the name of Jesus. Listen. When the Bible says shortly, it's not something shortly that, okay, maybe shortly is 10 years, shortly is 15 years. That's not shortly, oh. Amen. Shortly is not 15 years. But because he told them, but how are you going to do it, brothers and sisters? Brethren, you must learn to do what? To be strong in the Lord. And how? By praying more in the Spirit. By praying more in the Spirit. Just open your mouth and pray. Pray in the Spirit. Learn it. Learn how to win daily. That is how to win daily. You are winning daily because you are praying more in the Spirit. You are taking the word of God in your prayers. You don't just pray and leave your prayers without instructions. You are praying. You are downloading instructions. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Leko pralia da koski la batoski. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When those challenges come, do not fear. Do not fret. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the supply of the Spirit. Be strong in that your God is mighty. Be strong in that your God will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong in that. Be strong in that. Be strong in that. Be strong in that. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the fact that he knows the thought. He said, I know the thought. I think towards you, thought of peace, to give you a hand of expectation. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, Ratosh Keledi, I'm going to allow you pray. I'm going to allow you pray. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Make sure you resist every opposition. In Jesus' name we pray. Look up. We're still going to pray. Sorry for your time. We're still going to pray. Daniel, in Daniel 10, Daniel set out his heart to pray. And while he was praying, he prayed for 3 weeks, 21 days. Okay? And while he was praying, the Bible says, on the last day of the prayer, the man Gabriel appeared unto him. He told Daniel, from the time you have set your heart to seek to pray, he said, the commandment has been set forth. But while he was coming, he said, the prince of Persia withstood him. That was Gabriel. Gabriel, he said, he withstood him. He said he had to call, they called for reinforcement. And that was how they were able to conquer the prince of Persia. Now, let me understand. I want you to get it. Now, the guy prayed for how many days? He was persistent. He's not, though as he was praying, it seems that things are not changing, but he was persistent. He was insistent, consistent. All the tenses. Hallelujah, all the sentences. Praise God. You have to learn how to intensify. Okay? Recruit angels. Recruit the things of the Spirit in your prayers. I'm not saying you are not the ones. You are not saying, oh, angel come. You're just praying in the Spirit. By praying in the Spirit, you are recruiting them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Praise God. Bow your head and pray again. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. I want you to use this word even from today. Use it. Use it. Take all the old armor of God. You'll be able to withstand in the days of evil.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed.